reaction of the traditional ruler of, is it true that we have our things there? And then now they want to know how did all these things happen? Because there is a sort of cutoff between the people now present in Cameroon and our history.
Decolonial Memories, a podcast by Thomas Fuss. Here we will have conversations on the legacies of colonialism with voices from the Global South, from Europe, and from Germany. Dekolonial Erinnern, der Podcast von Thomas Fuss. Wir werden hier über den Kolonialismus und seine Folgen bis in die Gegenwart sprechen. Mit Gästen aus dem globalen Süden, aus Europa und aus Deutschland. This is episode number one of the podcast Decolonial Memories. I'm honored to have with me as guest Flaubert Jarteng from Cameroon. He is coordinator of the civil society organization Zenu Network, which deals particularly with youth in the country. Part of their work relates to German colonial rule back from 1884 to 1914. Flaubert is also member of the Legal Affairs Subcommittee of the National Committee, which works for the restitution and the return of ancestral remains and cultural belongings. So Flaubert Jarteng is with me. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
For having this conversation. And it would be nice, I guess, if you first say something about yourself, about your background, your professional interests and your work and your passion, something personal.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk with you and to talk on this issue. I'm Flaubert, Flaubert Jarteng. I did this training in agronomy. I have a diploma in agronomy. Many people are not aware of that. 5 years at university. And then I started working with the Ministry of Agriculture. And I was frustrated because I was in an office without any work on the field, because during my training, I was prepared to produce and to feed people, not to work in the office and work on report and mission and so on. So I have to write a letter to resign. Then I joined the NGOs. So when I was in the NGOs, I work with CIVCRE, it's a national NGO dealing with environmental protection in Cameroon. So working there, I had additional training. I did some training in organizational development. Started working as consultant, organizational development. You work like a doctor for organization.
Okay.
It's the same way. Doctor, doing diagnosis and also help organization to cure themselves if there is a problem, if something is happening. Also help them if they have a very good result and they want to remain at the top. You can help them to look at the strength and the value and to see the way to remain at the top. So I did this training of OD. It was a good, very important moment because I really feel that was something interesting that I should work on it. So I started working. Then I did also some training on peace, conflict resolution, and then I start working. So working with in conflict resolution, that brought me working with Bread for the World, who work in civil peace services and send a lot of people in Africa to strengthen local organization dealing with peace. So that's how I was involved in this civil peace service and work a lot in four countries in Africa, mainly DRC, Liberia, Cameroon, and Sierra Leone. Then I'm one of the people who want to stay in Cameroon. So I decided to stay. During my stay in Cameroon, I launched this Zinu Network organization. It's an NGO also. So because after SIPCRE, I also work with Cooperation, German Cooperation, and then Bruce for Devel, and then stay in Cameroon, we launch this NGO, Zinu Network. Zinu Network work mainly with youth and also mayors and councils. And then this is where I really got my passion, strengthening youth organization, giving additional skills, mainly social skills, financial skills, to youth so that they can be prepared.
Is this a local NGO or does it reach out to many parts of the country, of Cameroon?
Yeah, it's a local NGO. We even start at a region, make it local, work in the schools, and working in the school and out of the school, looking at the skill useful to life, social skills. So to add to what they are getting in the level of studies in the schools, to add and reinforce them. It's a local NGO, even though you sometime at national level, we have some invitation to present our work and to exchange our experience with others. Yeah. But we work locally in Cameroon.
Okay. And then how, I understand you also through Zenu Network, you got involved on the issue of German colonialism in your country. Could you maybe provide some insights on that?
Yeah, exactly. During our work with youth, working in this social reinforcement of youth, give them social skills and financial skills also, we work on this, the same issue. So working in this social skills, we put youth Cameroon in contact with foreigners for some work. For example, students in Europe, France, for example, and Germany, sometimes they are in Cameroon to do the research. So at the beginning, we hosted some students, giving them the opportunity to do research in Cameroon. Then later on, I decided that if a foreigner is coming to Cameroon, he should work with a Cameroonian. Saying if a German student is there, or a French student is there, I did a negotiation with two universities, Yaoundé University and Chang University, so that we can have also a Cameroonian working on the same topic, so that they work together. So we start doing this. And then I noticed that something was happening in relation with the intercultural behavior. I also noticed in my work that when, for example, Bruce for Devel was sending people in Africa, mostly they were white people, and then the main challenge in the organization was how to manage this intercultural behavior between African and European so that they can work together and produce together. So I start thinking on this issue. That's how it brought me at the level of cooperation and try to see why is that some people are behaving in this social way and so on. And then later on, I found that most of the things are coming from the colonial period.
Okay.
That some behavior, how people behave, how people do things. Even
can you give some example for to better understand how this mechanism
Yeah, for
works.
Example, at the level of student, when someone was coming from Europe, it's true that most of the students from Europe, they have a lot of equipment, computer, a lot of things. And then here in Europe, they have the ability to go to many libraries. So the culture is so large. And then I noticed that most of the time, when they are working with Cameroonian students, three students to five, the majority will let the European to take the lead.
Oh. In their interaction, when
in
they
the interaction,
talk
or yeah.
and when they work together.
Exactly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. There is a sort of complex.
Yeah, okay.
We are operating within them. And then I found that if a Cameroonian want to take the lead, he has to fight. He behaves like he's fighting to have something.
Ah, okay.
I was looking, yeah. Why does he, where do the need to fight is coming? I thought, for me, if someone knows something, he should take the lead. The lead should come because of the knowledge, because of what you know. If you master the subject, you can take the lead. If you don't master the subject, you give way to others. That was how I understand. But looking at them, I saw that a complex was happening in the relation.
Okay.
So I tried to find out what is going on. Then I started reading, and I also have some contact. And then working with Douala Art.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's with Princess Marilyn.
Princess Marilyn.
Yes.
Yeah, because she understands what you were doing with the youth at level of social education. And then she approached us and said she would like also that we help Douala Art to popularize their research in relation with the fight of Douala Mangabel.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So that brought me, so I started reading on what happening. We have in the history at school, sometimes they talk about Douala Mangabel, Martin Luther King, Rudolf Ruben Umyobe and so on, who fought a lot for independence. But going deeply to see how the state of Cameroon started, and then going deeply even to colonial period with Germany, is not too deep. You have to read to get the information. That's how I started reading. And then I got all this information on what happened. At the university, even at the secondary school, they talk about this German meeting at Berlin.
Yeah, the Africa Conference.
Yeah, the African Conference 1884, yeah. Where they decide to divide Africa in different countries. Yeah, you have the information, but you don't really look at the consequences. So in the school, we just have the information and then we look at it like something interesting to know. And then when you have the exams, you answer to the question and that is, it stopped like that. But working with Douala Art, I start looking at the consequences and so on.
Like and what it means for your own country. And
for the country.
How the past so it, also shapes the present then. Yeah.
How the past shaped the present, how the past shaped the organization, how the past shaped the behavior of people, the relation between the states and so on. So I found what they did in what happened to Douala Mangabel. The main struggle was justice. But from that, I also get information on the relation between the state of Cameroon and the state of Germany.
And what specifically did you do with the Zenu Network to work with the students on the issue of German colonialism? What sort of activities came out of that?
Yeah, the first activity was with Douala Art. So there was a short exposition they did on the past of Cameroon, how Germany was involved on our as the state of Cameroon was formed at the beginning, because they did a lot a deep research looking at the cart of
the map
of Cameroon.
Yes.
In 1980, 1985, and then later on how it changed from Germany to when the German was there, when the German were out, what happened with French and English colony, and then the referendum and the new map of Cameroon today. They did this research, and then with a clear mapping of the different steps. That was the first thing. And then within these changes, what happened? How the German country behaved when they were in Cameroon, all these masters from colonial period, how they behaved, where they were, the different treaties that they have with people, and where was this respected and not respected, how they used, they were there, they forced people to work, because this forced labor started with Germany. And then to build the rails, the railways, all those buildings in Cameroon, and some bridges and so on. So they did all this work. So the first thing we did was to do the presentation of the German period, German presence in Cameroon, what happened. It was a short presentation. And then this exposition, we brought it at the level of schools.
Okay.
So we asked to schools to give us some teachers. We trained the teachers on the issue. And then when the expo is within the school, there is a teacher who present it to the students and also answer to the question. And we also have a sort of workshop with students to draw something after visiting the exposition and listening to the explanation. So they have to draw a map or draw someone to show what they get from it, and then present to others what happened to them. And then from that presentation, we have an exchange. So my team exchange with students to see how they're going to use it in the future. That was the first step.
And mm-hmm. at this point, with the exposition, you took to the schools then. How would you describe the reaction of the students in a general sense? Was there interest, or how many people were really catching on and connecting to the issue? Was that a small number, or you found some larger resonance, positive response?
In each school, at the beginning, you have a sort of curiosity from the student. They came one after another, and then after 2 or 3 days, they're coming many. And then you have almost in each school, at the end, the whole school were interested on the exposition. And then we always have some school where teachers was not really interested, but because of students, teachers also start to come. And then in an area, for example, in Balmayo, not only students and teachers, we also have people out of school coming because the information starts spreading in the town, and then you have people coming to watch also and ask questions to understand. It was something really new for almost all of them to get that information, what happened in 1884 till 1916 between Cameroon and Germany. It was really new for almost all of them.
Can we follow up on this? You told me before that through the new network and together with your collaborative partner, the Esperanza mm-hmm. organization in Cameroon, you reached out to the traditional authorities about their view and perspective. What were the experience that you made when you went out to question them on these issues?
When from that working with Douala Art, we also have in this social education with schools, we sometimes bring students to visit museum. I also visit the National Museum with many schools in Cameroon. And during the visit, the school presents saying they were not only giving the name of the school, they were saying it was Zenu Network who brought them. So I have an invitation from the director of the National Museum. He gave me the invitation and from a meeting because they start discussing about this colonial belonging. That way I got the first information on what is happening in relation to the colonial belonging here in Germany. Then later on, I found out that some organizations are working on the issue. For example, Esperanza Card. And I knew the princess. I got contact with her to see what she is doing. And then that's how I get the information that she's working a lot with traditional rulers. Then we start working together also to see how traditional rulers behave. And then it was not only traditional rulers from Cameroon, it's also traditional rulers from Gabon, also from Benin, and so on and so on. So we even have a big meeting in Kenya with all the traditional rulers and relation with how they are present in the management of the country. And this issue of colonial period also came. The influence and also all the artifacts that are here in Europe, what to do. So that's how I was in contact with the issue, and then I start working on it. So I have to read all of the documents, and then because I'm coming here in Germany frequently because of my work on university in Cameroon, so I started also visiting the museum, get the information, and also get the information on what was going on.
Now you went out to visit some of the traditional rulers, right?
Yes, exactly.
So what, and to raise the issue of German colonialism and the the looting of their artifacts, let's call them at the moment, or entities. Mm-hmm. Could you give us some idea on what happened? How did they respond to this on this topic?
Yes, at the beginning, it's true that working with traditional ruler, they have a lot of cultural belonging in their own chieftaincy. They want to construct some museum there. So when we started working with them on this cultural belonging, most of them were not aware that some of the things are here in Germany coming from their village. Then the information which is well known by almost all the Cameroonians is that there is a throne of the Bamun chief here in Germany. But other things, no, the information is not well known. Even the Gongso is from the activism of some organization that we got the information. People were not really aware. So what the first reaction of the traditional ruler was, is it true that we have our things there? And then now they want to know how did all these things happen? Because there is a sort of cutoff between the people now present in Cameroon and our history. Because after the German, you have the French. And then the way the French country manage the period in Cameroon, it was a sort of no information available. So there is a breakdown and everything were hidden.
Of the past of the country, yeah. And the peoples there, mm-hmm. Yes, the communities.
On the past. And then most of the chief were known there. Some of their father and their ancestors were some killed and some deported. Because of this rupture, lack of information. So the first reaction was curiosity to get the information. They want to know.
But Flaubert, I could also imagine that this memory of the colonial past, which was very violent, some people might want to shy away because it's causing pain. Did you have this experience?
Exactly.
Where people said, I'm really don't want to deal with it. It's I just cannot handle the pain that's involved.
There is, in some area like in Banwa, in the southwest and so on, yeah, this pain due to the brutality of the colonial period is also there. And then people, they don't talk about the pain to the children. They kept them for themselves. That why they were also, this is also one of the reasons why they don't have information on what happened. So they want to know, and then they also start looking for information and reading. And then they start talking now, say they want the things to come back. And there is a lot of question now, why was it that the German colonial period was so brutal? Because they start read, get some information on the brutality. And then something that really also helped was this the result of the research done by this team from TU University and the University of Chang.
Yes, the Atlas of Absence.
The Atlas of Absence. Yes. Mm-hmm. This also helped a lot because it has a lot of information of what the number, the 40,000 cultural belongings here in Germany in the public museum. And then they trace almost where the objects are coming from. And this is a good information for most of them. Yeah. And they that was really helpful because when you talk about this Atlas of Absence, most of the chief were really happy to get the information and know what was going on. And then one of the things also is that due to all this violence and this the fact that most of the things were taken with brutality, with force, and then you see people are also seeking for justice. They are asking for justice. They say, all these things happen. And how does the international community, how people behave today? It's like if people, they don't want to talk about it. They say, it's curious that all these things happen for decades, many years. And then it's like if they don't want to talk about it. That's how people are feeling. So most of the traditional rulers are asking, are we going to talk about it? What really happened?
Flaubert, before we turn to the German side, may I take a more personal view now? You said you are often in Germany and you have many contacts to Germans. Could you say a little bit, how does it feel for you as an individual? What does it do with your emotions? With looking at the past, as you mentioned, with all the violence and the cruelty, how do you manage this tension of dealing with the Germans who are the descendants? I'm a descendant of the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. And how do you handle this difficult relationship at a personal level?
Exactly. A personal level is very hard. When you read what happened, you are really shocked because the level of cruelty, the level of violence is so hard. And when you read at what happened with the so-called shoot trooper, it's so difficult. When they are in a village, they can kill almost everybody, and they will loot, they will take things, almost everything. What they don't take, they burn. So they will burn the rest before they leave the place. You don't understand why. They collect almost everything in relation with power, in relation with daily life, in relation with music, in relation with the production. They collect almost everything, and the rest they burn. And they almost every time the shoot trooper was killing and killing and killing and killing. And then you said, all these things happen. In most of the European country, you have archive. Almost you have history who is written. Information is written. It means people knows all these things. What happened? Why is it that no one is looking at it and look at the consequences? I was really shocked at the beginning because I got the information of what happened in the history of Germany with the Jews. Mm-hmm. I saw what happened. There is a huge movement, even now, with a lot of influence in the Germany daily life, at political level, at economical level, within the, even in the newspaper, all this issue of anti-Semitism is in the day of every German, every day. Then what happened in the colonial system, no one is talking about it.
Is that your view now
that was
on this
my first,
situation?
When I came in Germany, at the beginning, around 2000, the first time I was coming in Europe, it was like an amnesia. No one was talking about it.
Is it different now? Do you see any change over time?
Let me say, before, and I was seeing that also most of the Europeans, they have a lot of privilege. I'm sure that these privileges are coming from the colonial period. For example, if you have to come in Europe, the process of visa is a shameful process because when you went through a process of visa as someone, as a Cameroonian, at the end of the process, you feel diminished. Sometimes when you come out from an embassy, you say, am I still someone?
It's like a humiliation. Yeah. Humiliation.
Yeah. You are humiliated.
Yes, you
are
humiliated.
It's a lot of humiliation, the process. And when French or German are coming to Cameroon, all the doors are open. All the doors are open. And you ask yourself, why this type of difference between the relationship between people? And even in the work, most of the time, Europeans are the people paying. And you see at the level of your country, most of the industry working in our country, they do everything not to pay taxes. They have a lot of system to avoid paying their taxes. I know here you cannot do the same thing. You will pay. But in Africa, in Cameroon, not only in Cameroon, in many countries, they do everything. They will have a lot of system not to pay taxes. They will have a lot of system not to let off gain something. They take almost everything. So they are always, you feel like if they are behaving the same way, like during the colonial period, but in a new system. Mm. In a new system, not with the same violence, but during colonial period, you have physical violence, the burn things, the kill people. Today, the violence is systemic, is structural, but the consequences are the same.
And now coming back to what experience you make in Germany in terms of our entangled past during the colonial rule.
Yeah, we should differentiate. You have institution, you have organization, and you have people. I found that a lot of people, personally, in Germany, all the people I have in contact, they are aware and they want to do something, but sometimes they don't know what to do. Yeah, they are aware of. I think, on my point of view, they know what is happening, and then they want to do something to change. But they don't know what to do exactly. At the level of institution, the way things are set is deep and is for a long period people are using a system. Mm-hmm. And to change a system that people have been using for many years is not easy. That's how also I also see how people behave with the system. Because the system is so difficult to change.
Yeah. Sorry, Flo, but I just realized I didn't even offer you a drink. Would you like some water or tea?
Of course.
What would you prefer?
I prefer tea, yeah.
Yes, you have the green tea.
Yeah,
sorry for that.
Yeah, we just talk and then
yeah. Would you agree if I turn to the present situation in Cameroon regarding the colonial legacies and restitutions and reparations? Could you say something about your work with these commissions or the committee on the restitution, where your personal experiences so far?
Yeah, before 2022, the information was, how can you say it, not big. You have some spot, sometime you have something in the newspaper and then stop. If Douala Art has an exposition, it can happen. From a conference organized by Zenu Network or the program Route de Chefferie, you can talk about it. But it was one step and then nothing continue. But after 2022, I don't know, maybe it was because of this work in the National Museum, and also I think a lot of work happened with the Ngonso things and so on, and then this project, you know, with Atlas of Absence, there were a lot of information now flowing. At the level of the government, they start saying maybe they should do something. At the level of civil society organization also, information start flowing and then people are now looking and say, let's do something. So now in Cameroon, we have not too many civil society organizations, but some really want to work on the issue, like Zenu Network, like Route de Chefferie, like Africa Venue, like Douala Art. Africa Venue is the Professor Kuman Dumbe, you know, he has a study here, he studied here in Germany and he did a lot of work on the issue. But in Cameroon, it was not growing. But now there is a lot of information spreading in the work and then people are aware. People come to also to seek for information.
Yeah. And now you're part of this committee on the legal affairs, right? And how do you think this process in Cameroon would evolve, let's say, over the next 12 or 24 months, 1 or 2 years? What could happen there now?
In 2023, the government of Cameroon set a interministerial committee to deal with this issue of cultural belonging looted during colonial period. And then they start having people to work on this issue. They even have a mission here in Germany. And then there was a huge critic because what happened, it was only within the Ministry of Art and Culture. And then the first reaction people said, those people in that committee are not aware, they are not trained. So internally in the ministry, they decide to do some technical commission. And this technical, they have almost 8 technical commission now in this issue.
8 altogether, yeah.
Together, yeah. And this technical commission, you have people coming from the university, you have other people from some other ministry, you have civil society organization, and you have traditional ruler, also member of those technical committee. So, on my point of view, having this technical committee is a sign from the government that they want to handle the issue professionally, they want to handle it really now. But the way they are working, there is a need not to make it so centralized. There is a need to use participatory method to involve almost all the stakeholders and to give rooms to many other actors so that they can come there with their own thoughts and questions and also experience so that they use it for this national strategy to handle this issue. That's at the level of the government. But at the level now of traditional ruler, Yes, they are afraid now, because when this interministerial committee was put in place, the government said that the discussion should be from state to state, meaning that every Cameroonian cultural belonging in Germany, if they want to handle it, to do the repatriation or to do the restitution, the structure to manage it should be the state of Cameroon. At the first view, sometimes you can have the good reason to justify it, because I heard that there were a lot of claims coming from elite, coming from diaspora, coming from even some think tanks were claiming some object, not some specific object, sometimes many objects, sometimes objects coming from a specific village or a specific area. Looking at the German side, they would like to have someone handle things, maybe in a sort of way that they have only one person to whom they can deal with. That is understandable. But at the level of Cameroon, there is a need to take in account the question, the specific question coming from specific villages. And that is our recommendation now. We hope the government is going to take this in charge, because this is the main question we got from the traditional ruler. They are afraid not to get their things back.
Ah, okay, now I get it. So that they would end up with the national government, for example, to be presented at the National Museum. Is that
exactly? They're afraid
that's the fear. Okay.
If something like, for example, Gonzo came back to Cameroon, they can stay at the National Museum. They will want it to come back at the village.
Let's take the perspectives of the civil society Cameroon and civil society Germany. How can we better cooperate in the future to promote this process of course, conversation, the dialogue, but also in very practical terms, the restitution and repatriation? What can we do better in the future?
In Cameroon, first, civil society organization, there is a need for civil society organization to be near the government, to help the government handle this question. Because the contact with villages, the contact with population also, sometimes there is a need of negotiation, mediation, so that people talk in a constructive way and found a common basis to work together. And civil society can help a lot. Civil society also can follow the process to avoid corruption, to avoid blackmail and so on. It is really important at the level of Cameroon. And here in Germany, we are aware that civil society in Germany also is playing a good and important role in within the governance system to push, for example, that people managing the country, they take decision by respecting some values and some rules. So we would like the civil society organization at the level of Germany to handle this issue in a way that some decision are taken at the level of law, the judiciary, because if there is a law saying they should do this and this and this, and if the law is built in the sense of transitional justice, transnational justice also, it could be helpful. Because if something judiciary is not coming out to fix things for a longer period, we are afraid that you can have something this year and after 2 years or 2 or 3 years something, the change and the block things. Yeah. We like to have to handle in a way that at the level of law and at the level of parliament, some good laws are taken to handle the issue according to transitional justice. Because what happened, we don't want it to happen again in the past. and we also want to raise this issue of justice, to look at what happened and then try to do a sort of a reparation. We are aware that reparation maybe could not be at the level of paying almost, repairing almost what was destroyed. No, we are aware of that. But something can happen symbolically.
Like what? Would you have some ideas might look like?
Yes. What happened, for example, with Douala Mangabel is really interesting as a case. Yeah, there is a lot of discussion. There were a lot of information around the fact that he was killed. And then what happened in that period was really awful. Now, for example, Douala Mangabel has been rehabilitated here in Germany. But it was an information, a slight information in the newspapers. I'm not aware that all the German population are aware that Douala Mangabel has been rehabilitated, even though there is a place for Douala Mangabel to change the name of a place here.
Yes, but in Berlin.
In Berlin. Mm. I don't know if all the population are aware of that. We were waiting to have something really big, because what happened was also big.
Like what? Like a ceremony or?
Yeah, ceremony, national ceremony.
National ceremony.
Yeah, I think national ceremony, a law binding this process saying that this is what happened and these are the consequences. This is how now the government of Germany should behave with all these things, through a clear law. And then with that law, they can also set a body, a structure to handle the consequences.
Like a commission.
Direction or something.
Okay.
To handle all the consequences. And the consequences can be at the level of the cultural belonging. That can also be to look at the level of the relation between the state. Mm-hmm. It can also be at the level of looking at how the system, the education system, the socialization system, all those consequences and how to come out. Because we know that if you look at what is happening with black people, the racism, some influence are coming from the colonial period.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Some can. How to tackle it?
Yeah.
At the level of education, mm-hmm. at the level of socialization, all those things should be handled.
Good. I would like to raise the issue of the diaspora communities. Mm-hmm. Let's say in a very specific sense now for Cameroon. Mm-hmm. How would you, as an individual or as an NGO based in Cameroon, how do you relate to the diaspora in Germany? And also, how should Germans relate to the mm-hmm. Cameroonian diaspora? What role can they play in mm-hmm. this setup?
Yeah, Zenon, we really like the work of the diaspora. You have different levels. Eh? The level of the positive things they did. For example, we really benefit from the work done by this Cameroon House by Prince de Bangwa. Okay. It was the first started to collect, to note the cultural effect from Cameroon.
Prince Le Grand de Bangwa.
De Bangwa, Prince
Cameroon House Prince here in Berlin. Yes.
Yeah, he was mm-hmm. the first to start it.
Okay.
So he started it, even though nobody was taking him seriously. He continued, he did the work, and now today is something really important. The Professor Simo also, Professor Ngwafo. All those people, they came here for studies and then they start working on this issue. The fact that people who are here based in Germany, who study here in Germany, are now doing some research to make information available of what really happened, that's really important. It also helps us at the level of Cameroon to understand what is going on. Some advocacy they did also towards the museum, asking them to give back things that have been taken without respecting the law and so on. It's also something useful. The way they are doing it, maybe you can have some critics say you can do it in a constructive way, but Sometimes when you discuss with people in diaspora, you see that at the stomach, they are really angry. And then with those anger, sometimes you have emotion, and the emotion is not useful when you are fighting, when you are doing advocacy. Yeah, I found them sometimes because they have been victim of racism. They have been victim of something really at the level that they are not feeling considered at their real level. Sometimes they act with anger. That can be changed. We also give them some feedback and telling them at certain level you should change the way of handling things. Maybe lobbying could be most helpful without aggressing people when you are talking.
Yeah. You're also active in the Initiative Perspektivwechsel, right?
So yes.
That's a very interesting model or NGO that works in Germany and Cameroon at the same time. What sort of positive lessons have you learned from that?
Yeah, I was approached by, because Initiative Perspektivwechsel is put in place by a Cameroonian and a German lady. They really set it down because they want to show the resistance, what happened. Because sometimes when they present the colonial period, they only talk about how colonial country behave, but there are very few information on how people resist. Very few information how people try to fight for their right, to fight to keep their property and so on. Because at the end, exactly, they always say history is only people who succeed, who win the war, who tell the history. The people who lost the war did not have room to tell their own history. So what Initiative Perspektivwechsel is trying to do here in Germany is to give also the history of people who lose the war, but they did not lose because they did not do anything. They did something, but they did not succeed. There are some resistance history, resistance information that they collect, and then they try to make it available at the level of student here in Germany. And this is really important. It's the basic. Working at the level of schools, in the primary school, that is where people are building their value for the future. If you give them information on what happened, you will help them to build, to gain important value. And then tomorrow, there will be someone fighting against racism.
Yeah, I
think what they are doing is really important.
Yes, yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, as our conversation draws to an end, is there something that you still want to mention or some point of view that was left out so far, some message you would want to give us on our way?
Yes, I would like to say that as far as this colonial period, when you look at the colonial period, what happened? I think in my own perception, Germany is the first country that is putting the subject on the table so that we can work on it. I found the German institution really open the last 4 years on this issue of cultural belonging, for example, because other countries in Great Britain or in France is not yet there. Yeah, you have some sporadic seminars, conference, but having it in a process like what is going on here, because the last 2 years, I've seen the Minister Kachiako coming to Cameroon almost 2 times. I'm talking on the same issue, on the same issue. She came, she visited the minister, she also went to the villages and meet people, meet civil society organization. And here in Germany, I think Cameroonian delegation came 2 or 3 times, visit the museum and so on. And I think also this project from the reverse, this foundation who financed this project to do this Atlas of Absence is something really big and really important, making the information available and making the process also to move forward. That is something really important. And then we, at the level of Cameroon, also I'm doing a sort of information sensitization at the level of civil society organizations so that we should be able to play our role and to play it in a professional way, to play it in a way that help things to move forward and move also in a way that our dream is that the relation between the state now, we should gain from what happened during colonial period to better it.
Wonderful final words. Thank you very much, Flaubert, for this deep and meaningful exchange. And I hope we can continue on our collaborative work, and all the best for your work in Cameroon and also for the work and the outreach that you do in Germany. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas. And thank you for all your involvement. This gives us strength to continue. Thank you. Thank you.